Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's Good Friday. Thanks for being with us. A ton going on here locally today. We've got ASU Pro Day. Eric is out down there right now. All the NFL scouts at ASU. He's right in the middle of it. We'll check in with him in a minute. Zach Greinke starts his first game as a Diamondback at 1 o'clock this afternoon over at Salt River Fields against the A's. And the Diamondbacks putting out a very good lineup today, as they should, behind Zach Greinke. Pretty much their opening day lineup, I think, in most cases. U of A had a huge win last night. It was very entertaining. Of course, I was all over Golden State, Oklahoma City last night. I've got some thoughts on that as the day progresses. I actually think Steph Curry, if we're talking about the MVP of the NBA, there's no question it's Steph Curry. There's no question that the Warriors are in the heads of the Thunder. No question. There's no question the Warriors are in the heads of the Cavaliers. Just LeBron the last few days has acted weird. And so I've got a lot that I want to get to on that front. And the Suns came through in spades last night. They got drilled in Miami. So their quest to have a high pick continues on a very positive trajectory. They haven't figured out to try to win a game. And they screwed up last weekend against Charlotte. Von Miller's going to be on Dancing with the Stars, and I'm actually interested in Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz. So UFC, we've done boxing through the years, and there's times where I'll get into UFC. I don't do it every day of every show of every week, but there certainly is a place for it in this show, and there certainly is a place for it in Arizona. And it's grown, and it's grown, and it's grown, and I'm very interested in McGregor. I tried to watch the ASU game last night. Man, when you tip off at 9, I'm old. I'm not that old, but also when you're competing against Golden State and Oklahoma City, you're just not going to come through on that. So I'm going to get over to Aaron Andrews. Terrell Suggs is in the news cycle, arrested with a suspended license here in the Valley, and some thoughts on Peyton Manning. But we have Goodie at the Movies. Goodie at the Movies comes up in about 45 minutes. Bill and I sat together the other night and watched London Has Fallen. It's just dreadful, I think. And then Tina Fey, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. But first, ASU Pro Day is going on right now as we speak, and Eric is there, Eric Sorensen from Sports 360. Where are you right now?
Right now, I am just in the middle of the ASU Hall of Fame, walking through the different parts of the trophy room and looking at pictures from the 50s and 60s of track and field athletes.
Oh, very nice, very nice. And you were in the weight room. Has Westerman already lifted today?
He actually did not lift. As you know, Brad, these pro days are broken up into what they call strength and speed. Strength would be the weight room stuff. Speed is the 40-yard dash and all the agility drills. So they are completely done with the strength aspect, which started down in the weight room, and now the pro day has shifted to the Dickey Dome right across Scottsdale Road for the speed portion.
Okay, so he had no reason to lift, Eric, because he killed it back at the combine other than he cramped up. There was really nothing for him to gain by lifting. Is that what you gathered?
Yes, yeah. There's no need for him to lift, and only a handful of players lifted. Vi Tiafolo, who is an offensive lineman, did 43 reps at 225. That was the buzz of the morning. He was down there, and everyone inside the weight room was hooping and hollering and yelling. He was very impressive today.
Okay, so how many NFL scouts have you seen, or do you know that are there, or NFL representatives?
There are over 30 NFL teams here. Mm-hmm. Almost the who's who of teams, and there are approximately 15 or 16 just completed ASU football players, and there's also two or three past players who have come back to try to strut their stuff and try to reconnect with an NFL team.
Okay, who are the past guys? Do you know off the top of your head? I'm putting you on the spot on this, but
I actually don't.
Okay,
I just talk to someone. They're all down there in shorts and t-shirts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No one super notable.
No, I got you. I got you. Has DJ did DJ lift? DJ Foster.
DJ did not lift. He did do the vertical jump, and he was one of the more impressive ASU players in that aspect. Again, we're up. We're watching them down below,
right,
and we don't really know the official stuff unless it's someone that does 43 reps on the bench press.
Yeah.
So busy morning here, and it'll be interesting to see how the speed aspect plays out. As like I said, they're making their way over to the Dickey Dome as we speak.
Yeah. You sound very official, by the way. It's just me and you talking. It's fine. It's I know it's a big day over there with all the NFL people. All I want you to do is drag Jerry Jones over and put him on the phone. You know, when you see
here's
Bill Belichick,
Jones,
chat him up.
Here's the deal.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. Jerry Jones is not here. Bill Belichick is not here.
Yeah.
No one that I would recognize is here with the exception of Kyle Williams, and he's wearing like a Broncos golf shirt. Initially, we thought the former ASU wide receiver would be here working out, but it sounds like or appears he's either watching or maybe he's doing some scouting. I want to mention, Brad, Adrian Wilson is here scouting with the Cardinals.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, go over and do your thing at Dickey Dome. If somebody pulls a groin or if they run a 5.9 and they should be running 4.4s, if Christian Westerman falls over his shoes or something. I, in all seriousness, I would think his running time would be a big part for him today. DJ doesn't need to do much else. If he drops his 40 time, great. But it sounds like DJ's pretty much doing and hitting all the marks, so...
Yeah, but Westerman is projected to be a guard at the next level.
Yeah.
So again, how fast do you need guards to run 40-yard dashes? I mean, strength and agility is one thing. I just don't know how much stock they're going to put in how fast a 6'4", 299-pound guard runs after he was pretty impressive at the combine, as was DJ Foster. So a lot of the scouts here are just looking to make sure what they saw at the combine with Foster also pans out here in Tempe at ASU's Pro Day.
Yeah, well, go over there, get your stopwatch out, and call me with each 40 time. You know, make yourself useful. So, see you later.
Got it.
All right, there's Eric Sorensen over at ASU's Pro Day. Very official. He sounds like he's on NPR, which is fine. He's into it. He's doing his thing. All right, so that's going on over at ASU. Greinke throws today at 1. And look, it may mean to a lot of people, well, it's spring training and he's got to have some nerves today. I don't know. I've never signed a contract that's north of $200 million. I've never signed a contract that's north of $1 million. I've never signed a contract that's, well, I'm not going to go that far. So he's got to feel something today, I would think. He's supposed to throw 2 innings. And A.J. Pollock is in the lineup today, which is good. He's had that elbow thing going on. Eric and I were if you missed yesterday's show, we were talking about, we were out at spring training day before yesterday shooting some stuff for the baseball show, and there were empty seats all over the place, and the outfield lawn was vacant. Now, I get it. Spring break starts for school districts, some of them, today, and so the crowds will definitely pick up, but there weren't many people there, and here's Zach Greinke on the mound today over at Talking Sick. If there's ever a day to have a sick day or, hey, I'm too well to attend work this afternoon, this would be the day. This would be the day to head on over and have some fun as they take on the A's today and watch Greinke do his thing. I may even swing by there for a little bit. I got meetings all over the place, but it is of interest to me. The Warriors game last night against Oklahoma City, I'm going to get into that a little bit later. I'll just tell you that that's the best TV that is going right now in sports. It's better than watching guys run the 40 at the combine. It is. For people that like to compare sports, and they say, well, the NBA is the most intimate. It is also the most beautifully played sport that you can sit that close to. If you think about it, when you're at an NFL game, you're in the upper deck. You can be in the upper deck at an NBA game. When you're at an NFL game, they're in helmets. When you're at a basketball game, they're in shorts. And they're in tank tops. And they actually, Steph Curry was making some shots last night where he was falling into the crowd. You're not going to have that at a football game unless they score a touchdown or if there's a play that's made in the back of the end zone or something along those lines. Look, I'm a fan of sports in general. I'm not going to sit here and say one sport's better than the other, but when basketball is played right, it is the most beautiful sport to watch. Baseball is fun for me to go to because it's such a mental chess game. And it is slow to some people. I never sat there and said, boy, he's taking a long time to throw the football, or the baseball, rather. When I go to a baseball game, I keep score when I sit in the stands. I've taught all my kids how to keep score. I like to see the mental side of it. I like the pace of play. A nice, crisp 2-hour and 40-minute game is fine. Sometimes a 3-hour and 40-minute game is fine, too, if there's really a chess match that's going on. I'm going through this long rant here because last night as I'm watching the Warriors play, when Steph Curry made a couple of moves where You saw the Thunder say, we're not going to let you drill us and beat us from downtown. And he still made a couple of shots that were from downtown. But when he's out top and he's such a good dribbler, he is so good at that. When you see him do his thing, and then he's still able to finish at the hole or make the extra pass or set up all of his teammates. Like, Oklahoma City came into this game saying, we're not going to let you do to us what you did last Saturday night. And he still did, or his teammates did. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later on in the show and some of the things that I saw there. Terrell Suggs. I want to get into Terrell Suggs here. It's a couple things in the NFL today, and then we'll take a break. So Terrell Suggs was arrested for a suspended license early this morning, according to TMZ, here in the Valley. I don't know all the details on it as of yet. Here's the thing about the NFL, and this happens in all sports, but in particular in the NFL. For whatever reason, when it's the off season, it becomes the police blotter season. And I can usually sit here every week at some point in time and go through some incident that happened, whether it's a suspended license or something more severe than that. I'm not trying to dismiss Terrell Suggs. You know, earlier this week, we had the story of Jalen Strong being arrested for having a possession of marijuana. Some people don't think that's even a big deal. The fact that you're in a car that has a license plate that's not in view in Scottsdale. And, oh, by the way, it's a Maserati. Nothing good's going to happen. Like, do you guys understand that when you're bumping around Scottsdale pretending to be all cool and you don't have a license plate and it's in a red Maserati, according to the report, nothing good's going to come of that. It just isn't. And you need to be smarter than that, but they just aren't. This is the police season. I'll give you the direct opposite. While Suggs is in the news cycle for the exact wrong reasons, Von Miller is in the news cycle today for all the right reasons. You can laugh at Von Miller for accepting a role in Dancing with the Stars all you want. Here's the thing. When you go to Dancing with the Stars, you're marketing people, and that's business right there. That's business. That is saying, look, there's only this many people that really know football inside and out and know who Von Miller is. Believe it or not, that's the case. And you want to set up your post-career, and you want to be able to have Johnson & Johnson baby powder offer you an endorsement because you're able to reach people from across the country. It's kind of like Michael Strahan. If you look at Michael Strahan didn't have the best of reputations when he played. But when he got through playing, he decided to cross over and do some things that had nothing at all to do with sports. And now he's bigger than he ever would have been just as a football dude. Being a football guy doesn't make you. You look at Kurt Warner and the reality shows that he's done and some of the things that projects that he's attached himself to. You look at Larry Fitzgerald just in progress with his career, where he's talking about, I'm a University of Phoenix student and I'm taking pictures around the world that have nothing at all to do with football. He's setting himself up so well when the career is done on the field that he'll go do stuff that has nothing at all to do with the game. That's where you want to be. That's where the masses are, not on the field. So I had some people that were making fun of Von Miller with Dancing with the Stars. You have no idea. What a brilliant move. Those people that watch Dancing with the Stars don't watch football every Sunday religiously. It's a completely different demographic, completely different setup. And Aaron Andrews is in the news today. I got to get to that here in a little bit because that trial is just, it's taken a lot of twists and turns. And even O.J. Simpson is in the cycle a little bit. They found a knife in his backyard. You can't make this stuff up. It's what, 20 years later, and it was an off-duty cop that had the knife given him by a construction worker, and the off-duty police officer was directing traffic at a movie shoot, and he took the knife and he put it away at his house, and then he brings it forward. How can you script this? And it's when the OJ series is going on, this stuff comes up. Like, I see these stories, and they're all connected to sports, and it's just goofy. The OJ story, I'm not done with it. Some people are done with it. Some people were done with OJ a long time ago. I don't know. When the knife shows up and it was in his backyard, yikes. All right. Time out here. On the other side, I'm going to get into LeBron James and how LeBron and Steph Curry and where they rank and how I think Steph is in LeBron's head for a couple reasons, including social media. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360AZ.
So the Suns are in Orlando tonight. There's your Suns report. They got drilled last night. There's more of your Suns report. Let me just go through this quickly, and then I'll get over to the more interesting stuff, and that's LeBron and Steph Curry and LeBron going to work out with Dwayne Wade and all this stuff. So the Suns last night, I tried to watch it. At 5:30 on a Thursday afternoon, I found myself in real time watching the Suns just getting kicked all over the place. Dwayne Wade was great. Dwayne Wade against Devin Booker. That's a great education for Devin Booker. And as I'm watching the game, it's like, good for Dwayne Wade. Devin Booker is trying to go under screens rather than over screens, and Dwayne Wade is wide open hitting shots because Devin Booker's got to learn. Devin Booker trying to go head-to-head with Dwayne Wade on the offensive end was launching up threes that were paint chippers. They were just hitting the rim so hard. And Devin Booker found his stroke towards the end of the game when the game was out of hand. I mean, he finished with 34. It looks great. Looks great. But if you watch the game from start to finish, you know, the Heat pretty much packed it in around, I'd say, about the middle of the third quarter. The game was never in doubt. The Suns have become this team that likes to shoot, and actually I shouldn't say become, this is who they are. They like to shoot from long range because they have no inside game at all. So they were 5 of 22 from three-point country, and the Heat were 9 of 17. 9 of 17, you're going to win a lot of games. 5 of 22, you're going to lose every time, and that's what the Suns are finding a way to do, is lose every time. So again, they played Orlando tonight. Now into more interesting things. LeBron James, I really believe that what you see out of LeBron James, I'll listen to audio clips. So I do work here with Skyview. I do their morning sports. And I have access to audio from around the country on the radio side. And you hear this, and I was going to use some of it today, but it's just, it's not worth it because it's so short. You hear this LeBron James tone that in the last few weeks, because Steph Curry, like last Saturday night when Steph Curry went crazy and the country saw it, it was a nationally televised game against the Thunder. And as this Warriors streak, even going back further, as this Warriors streak has gone on, Curry has gotten more and more attention, and LeBron has gotten less and less. He's still LeBron James. He's still this big brand. Anytime he puts something out on social media, it becomes a story. You know, LeBron has two titles. Curry has one. LeBron's been in the league 13 years. Curry's been in the league for 7. Is LeBron James on the way down in his career and Curry's on the way up? I think you could start making that argument, but I'm not there yet. Curry's been in the playoffs 3 times. LeBron has been in the playoffs 10 times. Curry's been in 3 All-Star games. LeBron's been in 12. Curry has 1 MVP. LeBron has 4. Curry has no MVP finals. LeBron has 2. I can go through the numbers and all that stuff. LeBron has 5 all-defensive first teams. Curry has none. It's not what he's there for. But the tone in LeBron James, when he went down, and I was trying to put myself in the situation, if a superstar player was here, and they took off for a couple of days and went over and worked out with their best buddy who happens to be in the same conference. And that's what LeBron James did. LeBron James flew from Cleveland to Miami because the Cavaliers had 3 consecutive days off. That's something kind of odd in scheduling, but they had 3 days off. Now, if I'm in February in Cleveland, I'm going to get the heck out of Cleveland and go to Miami and go to South Beach for 3 days or 2 days myself. I can afford to do that. If I decided I didn't want to come in here and do the show for a couple of days, and there was a host that was sitting here in place, I don't have to explain myself. If you decide to go to vacation, wherever it is you're going to go, you don't have to go explain yourself, right? I don't think you should have to explain yourself. So for people to get all bent out of shape that LeBron went to Miami to go work out, and we don't even know what that workout consisted of, or hang out with his buddy Dwayne Wade because they're that close, they're that tight, because it's the former team that he was at, city of Cleveland is apoplectic over this. They're losing their minds. That's one. Two, it seems to me, and I could be wrong on this, it seems to me that LeBron has become really close-mouthed on things, like deal with it. It's very, very short, okay? And he's always been one that has worked and manipulated. In the last segment, I was talking about how these guys have their brand set up as a business beyond just what's going on the court. And I really believe LeBron is one of the smartest people. He made a poor decision doing the decision, but that's about it. And I'm not sitting here doing a hatchet job on LeBron James. It just feels to me like his, I don't want to say jealousy, but maybe he looks at his team in Cleveland. He put out some innocuous tweets last week about, you know, don't do me wrong, things like that. I don't know if it was towards his teammates or not, but he left it open. Whenever somebody puts something on social media, they're sending a message. So does it disrupt the chemistry within the Cavaliers? I don't think I'm going too deep on this. This is not the biggest soap opera in the world. It's just, is Cleveland starting to do a bit of a dip? I think it's very, very fair to wonder that. It's not like there's anybody in the East that's great. It's not like I'm expecting outside of Toronto, and maybe Toronto could give the Warriors a better match in seven games than the Cavaliers could. But I still don't think Toronto is the end-all of end-alls. They're the unknown. Most of you have not seen the Raptors play, but they're really good. They have the second-best record over in the East. And, you know, they play Portland tonight. Portland has, in my opinion, one of the best backcourts in the league. So you add it all up and you look at what's going on at Cleveland. And is Cleveland one of those teams that's on the decline, A? B, is there a little bit of animosity slash jealousy? I shouldn't say animosity. Jealousy between what LeBron James was, is, versus what Steph Curry is getting. Steph Curry to me is different than any player that I've seen. I try to put it in perspective. When I watch Magic Johnson play, it was a 6'9 point guard. 6'9. But Magic Johnson didn't have near the dribbling skills. He couldn't shoot. Couldn't shoot like Steph Curry could shoot. And you could say different era. Well, sure, different era in terms of years, but the game's still pretty much the same in this regard. You've got to be able to dribble and shoot. Magic had to become a better shooter. But he was such an anomaly at 6'8", 6'9", with his vision and his Harlem Globetrotter no-look passes and that sort of thing. And when I watch Steph Curry, I see the exact same sort of thing, just different body size. Guys, if you watch him closely, if you're a real hoopaholic, I call us, if you're a hoopaholic, you watch Steph Curry play, you cannot help but look at him and say, wow, he can do this that Michael Jordan couldn't do. Michael Jordan could make some moves. I think we all remember the baseline move between the leg dribble against the Knicks and over Patrick Ewing's slam dunk of Michael Jordan. I think we all remember seeing that clip. It's kind of like watching Kevin Johnson dunk over Hakeem Olajuwon. We remember seeing that clip. So Steph Curry, it's every game. Last night, he has a high pick and roll, and he uses the pick, and he dribbles behind his back between his legs, and Russell Westbrook is down in San Jose or Moraga trying to catch him. He can't do it, and it's a layup. It's a simple layup. They're pushing out on him 28 feet away from the basket, and he's falling away and hitting a three on a supposed gimpy ankle. And it's not just one game. How many off games does Steph Curry have? And so the Warriors are trying to do something that we've never seen done before. They're trying to get past the Bulls' all-time winning record, and they're ahead of it. Nobody's ever been this far into the season with the record that they have and is pacing to finish ahead of the Bulls' best regular season record. Now, is that because a lot of the teams in the NBA stink? Yes, they do. We have one right here in Phoenix. The team we have here in Phoenix blows. The team that is in Los Angeles that is not the Clippers, who would have ever thought that, blows. The Lakers are horrible, just dreadful. You know, you go through other, I'm not going to go through every city in the NBA, but tell me, in the Western Conference, you have Oklahoma City, you have San Antonio, Memphis has lost Gasol. I don't think they're that great any longer. I mean, it can hang in there. Houston's been a mess this year. They're trying to come back. I heard they hired Clifford Ray to try to turn Dwight Howard around. I mean, come on. This late in the season, you're trying to get through to Dwight Howard's head. You know, the Clippers feel to me like a team that has the potential, but I also feel like Doc Rivers could get fired at the end of this year if they don't go far in the playoffs. Portland, nice backcourt, not a great frontcourt. Denver, team in transition. Utah, I think they're better. I think they're getting better, but they're not anywhere as close to Golden State. Phoenix, that's a speed bump. It's nothing that you don't. Klay Thompson and Steph Curry don't even need to play against Phoenix, and they'd still win. Dallas, team in transition. So here are the Warriors trying to accomplish something. And you know, I've not gone through their schedule to finish out the season. I haven't gone that far yet, although I could. I could do it right now because we can on this show. To just go through it, they play the Lakers next on Sunday. That's a win. They have Orlando at home. That's a win. They have Utah at home. That'll be tough, but it'll be a win. Portland at home, that's a win. Phoenix, come on. Everybody could go on a three-day break when they play the Suns. That game's there. New Orleans, better team. Knicks, come on, they stink. Dallas, at Dallas. At San Antonio, okay. Now I'm interested. Minnesota's a year away. Minnesota's going to be really good. Clippers, yeah, interesting. Dallas again, they have the Sixers. They have Washington, at Utah. Boston, Portland, Minnesota, San Antonio, Memphis, San Antonio, Memphis. So their final four games, when they're going to try to really nail this down, San Antonio, Memphis, at San Antonio, Memphis. The NBA obviously thought Memphis was going to be better and didn't anticipate them getting beat up. But, you know, the point of this is when you look at their schedule, I don't see five losses here along the way. I really don't. There's some games that will be of interest. And every night they play now, I got to believe the numbers. And even though they play the stinking Lakers on Sunday afternoon at 12:30, and if it's not raining in LA, people could be at the beach. That's going to draw a huge number. Even if Kobe doesn't play, Kobe's shoulder's been bugging him. But is LeBron sitting there looking at everything that Steph Curry is doing? If you're a player on the Cavaliers, do you look at the way that you're constructed and you're built that we are going to be able to go out and we are going to be able to beat Golden State in a 7-game series? Now, I think the Thunder could give them trouble, but Oklahoma City is now tied for the lead in blown leads in the fourth quarter. They've led in 10 games that they've lost. Starting the fourth quarter, leading 10 times, and they've lost every one of those games. So there's something there inside of the Thunder's head about Golden State. You know, put a bow on this. It's just, I think that Curry is the MVP of the league. If I'm starting a team today, an aging LeBron James, Steph Curry, I don't know if Steph Curry is off the court. I have to feel like LeBron James kind of has a sense of entitlement that this is my team. I'm LeBron James. I'm going to do what I want to do. And the Cavaliers are trying to nail him down. I don't think it's any coincidence. He bought some mansion out in Los Angeles a couple of weeks ago. There's going to be the conversation. If they don't win, is he going to say, I want out of here? That conversation is going to come. But for now, as the Warriors are trying to set this all-time record, I got Curry. I got Curryitis, man. It's on my calendar. Even this Sunday afternoon, that's a tough one. I'm probably going to hold my family hostage. I'm going to say, hey, I got to watch this. Or have my 11-year-old son sit with me and say, because we did that the other night during the Thunder game. I called him into my office, sat him down, said, look, it's the fourth quarter. You need to watch this kid. And he's watching Steph Curry. And you guys notice that Curry plays with his mouthpiece, right? So his mouthpiece comes out. So I'm coaching again. I've been coaching my kids throughout. And I got some kids that like to take their mouth guard and play around with their mouth guard. Gee, who did they learn that from? So they're standing there while I'm talking to them. Their mouth guard's hanging out like a lollipop, right? I don't mind. It's just kids are imitating kids. It's fine. But the young guys and girls have to look at Steph Curry and say, that's so cool what he's doing. Because he's not the biggest kid in the world. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. Aaron Andrews' trial is on my mind. And also Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz. That's on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. Well, Goody at the Movies coming up in about 6-7 minutes. He's at a screening today, so we got to scoot over to him. London Has Fallen. Bill and I saw it the other night. You sit next to Bill at a movie theater, so they actually tape off seats for Bill. That's how big a deal Bill is. They don't start the movie until Bill arrives because Bill's chief film critic for Gannett, and Gannett has lots of outlets. But I'm sitting there next to him, and the movie's just dreadful. But it comes out today, and there's people that clapped and all that, but in my mind, it was just it's an hour and 50 minutes of my life I will never, ever get back. And then we're going to talk to him about Tina Fey. He spoke with Tina by phone, and then Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, which actually looks pretty good. That movie comes out today as well. So Bill Goodykoontz here in a couple of minutes. Eric today is down at the ASU Pro Day. The NFL scouts are there to watch Kristen Westerman and DJ Foster and others. He checked in with us earlier. If there's anything down there of interest, he'll check back in with us. They're running the 40. They were in the weight room. But 30 NFL teams on the campus of Arizona State today. That's going on as we speak, and he'll have that content up there a little bit later. Erin Andrews closing arguments in her civil case. Have you guys been checking this out? I'm kind of over Erin Andrews, aside from the story, and it's nothing that she's done. It's just she's been put in so many places, the Dancing with the Stars stuff, her role at NFL on Fox and the sidelines when she does the Richard Sherman interview and he goes crazy. I mean, there's just things that go along and along and along, and there comes a point with certain people that you're getting out there too much. And to me, it's nice enough person. But this story has captivated a lot of people. She's seeking damages of $75 million from Michael David Barrett, the Nashville Marriott and its parent company. This goes all the way back to 2008 when she was secretly recorded in her hotel room. If you guys haven't been watching this case closely, it has been really gripping testimony by her, a very tearful Erin Andrews. So this guy confesses to altering the peepholes in hotel rooms in Nashville and Columbus. So he records Erin Andrews nude. He puts the video online, still images of her naked body across tabloids online. Guy's sentenced to 2.5 years behind bars for that. That's it. He's ruined somebody's life, gets 2.5 years. But has he ruined somebody's life is what the defense is contending. She testified during the trial that she'll forever be haunted by the recording. I understand that. I get that. There'll always be this, the tweets, the nasty messages when she's out on the field, people are yelling things at her. That when she testified that when she was at ESPN, that they insisted she address the video in a nationally televised interview before she could return to her job. Of course they did. That is clickbait, man. We're going to make you talk about the worst possible thing that could have happened to you. She testified her bosses recommended she speak on Good Morning America since the show fell under the same corporate ownership as ESPN. Of course they did. You need to make sure the numbers on Good Morning America, I don't think they were going to put that in, like, I don't know, the final segment of the show. And they probably weren't going to promote the fact that Erin tells all tomorrow, dun, 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 you know. Instead, she went to the Oprah Winfrey show. Of course she did. When you want to go places to reach a different audience, you go to Oprah. You go to Ellen. What was it? Ronda Rousey, we were talking about. She went on Ellen a couple weeks ago. She bawled her eyes out and the world went crazy because, again, she's not talking, just a straight sports dude. Andrews returned to her job the same week the air date of the Oprah interview was announced. ESPN maintained in a statement that they supported Andrews throughout. She talked about in testimony earlier this week. Think about this now. You put yourself in her position. She's been videotaped. It's all over the place. So now when she goes to hotel rooms, when she travels, she checks in to her room and she checks out the air conditioning vents. She checks out the alarm clocks. She checks out the bathrooms. She checks out all bathrooms in hotel rooms for cameras. She maintains that the incident will deter young women from pursuing a career in sports. I don't know how you can measure that. I don't know how you can measure that. Quote, I think what really hits home for me and hurts me the worst is when girls, high school, college, they tweet me and say, I want to be Erin Andrews except for the Marriott stocking thing, she said. So I don't know if there's any correlation between what she went through and how it's detracting. I don't know if there were hundreds of tweets or one tweet. I don't know that. But here's the interesting side of this. So the defense lawyer, because there's always a defense lawyer in this, and his client gets 2.5 years for being a creeper. Defense lawyer points to contracts Andrews signed with ESPN and Fox Sports and her role as host on Dancing with the Stars and her multiple endorsement deals and claims that the incident has helped her career. Miss Andrews, this has helped your career to where you are today. He actually said, quote, your income has gone up substantially since this occurred. Does he have a point? I think her career was already heading in a huge trajectory. Are there executives that say we've got to put her on because she is everywhere? There's no question this day and age. There's no question. For her to seek damages of $75 million from the guy, the Marriott, the guy only gets 2.5 years. They're going to rule on this today. So just going through the numbers and just going through this story, does she get $35 million? Does she get the full $75 million? Is there a point of what the defense attorney is saying? That, look, you went through this, but your career has taken off. Is it because she went out and talked about it on Oprah? Is it because her parent company wanted her to talk about it and make a statement and make a big deal out of it? Is it because media companies said we can get a whole bunch of clicks and views and people talking about our product through her adversity and we want to make some money off of it? Yeah. Bill Goodykunz is next, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central Sports movie critic. And I also want to talk to Bill. He wrote an interesting piece today about the debate last night, because Bill is allowed to do that. He has the freedom and flexibility. He's just really smart about what we saw. Donald Trump, the size of a penis, and these guys on the stage just acting like just little babies. I'm just done with all of them. That's next. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, getting ready for a great sports weekend. I don't know if it's that great. Zach Greinke's pitching. But there are some movies that you should see. Maybe not. I was sitting next to Bill, my wife and I, the other night for London Has Fallen. I'm about, I don't know, 15 minutes into it, and I'm thinking Bill just wants to puke all over his shoes with this movie. He joins us now for a couple of minutes. AZ Central movie critic, of course, chief film critic for Gannett. Am I right about that, that you looked at this movie and you were just thinking, what in God's green earth am I sitting in and watching?
It was actually, while it was not a very good movie, it was kind of fun to write about. it's just so stupid. I mean, and the thing is, these are good actors. I mean, these, you know, Gerard Butler needs to get in touch with his agent, because he's just making all these really stupid movies. If he's not doing this, he's doing those cartoony, fake, historic epics, you know, where they like CGI his chest and all that. But and then Aaron Eckhart is a very underrated actor. I mean, I think he was, and like Batman or in the Dark Knight, he was really good as Harvey Dent, Two-Face. He's just a good actor, period. But this is just dumb. It's ridiculous. I mean, the things that would have to happen. Of course, here's what happens if people don't know. I mean, the Prime Minister of England dies. The whole world, all the heads of states go to his funeral, and despite what they say on a message, there is the most secure place on the planet, it becomes a target for like this huge terrorist attack. And then of course Gerard Butler and the President of the United States end up running around like shooting people and all this stuff. Is
well, the writing, look, here's I gotta go a couple places here on it. You didn't even mention Morgan Freeman. His agent needs to get in touch with him. Like, the first time he comes on camera, I'm thinking he's gonna hold up a Visa card and say, buy Visa. Right? And he's a vice president who talks about a fishing trip more than anything else in this. Like, there's code for a fishing trip to let the president, Gerard Butler, know that he's the real guy. I'm not giving away too many secrets here, but there is...
There's no secrets to give away.
No, there are terrific blow-up of bridges, okay? There's bombs everywhere, so there's blood, there's all sorts of stuff.
I think you're wrong. I think we need to get in touch with Morgan Freeman's agent, because you get paid for whatever he did to sit there and honestly have about, what, 5-6 lines in the whole movie?
That's
now,
it.
Granted, we cannot deliver them the way that Morgan Freeman delivers them.
Right.
And he, you know, but, I mean, the first one made some money. It's a sequel, of course, to Olympus Has Fallen. It's a, you know, that one made some money, so they made this one. I don't know if this one will make any money or not, because if you're going to go see a movie like this, I mean, you probably go see Deadpool. That's what it seems to be what people are doing. But that said, I was not offended or anything. It's not bad in that way. I mean, it's just a big, dumb movie.
Okay, so, and I'm walking out with my wife, and I said, what did you think? And she said, well, It moved fast for, an hour and 45 minutes. I was entertained at points. You know, she said, Brad, the crowd was laughing. They actually applauded. Some of them did at the end. And I just thought we're from a different gene pool. That was just...
Well, you are.
It was just...
But,
yeah, that's what I am.
It's just your kids aren't. No, but I thought... The other thing that's kind of weird about it was not the most... you could say it's diverse, if sure. In that there are a lot of people of color in it. But on the other hand, other than Morgan Freeman, anyone of color is a horrible bad guy.
Well, that's right.
And they seem, this president seems to have adopted what would be like a Trump Cruz foreign policy, just like kill everybody if you have the chance.
Yeah, the only thing that was missing was building a wall 20 feet high. You know, that was...
We know where the biggest terrorist in the world is. We could just walk in and get him. But instead of doing that, let's level an entire city block.
Right.
to get this guy, you know?
Let's move from there over to Tina Fey. And I want to talk first about Tina Fey in the past, before Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. And that is, I like Tina Fey a lot. I think she's really smart. The Sarah Palin stuff that she did on SNL was absolutely brilliant. You could use that on and on and on. I don't know if Mean Girls was one of my favorite movies or not. There was parts of it that made me laugh. You know,
I love that movie.
But so let's just talk about Tina Fey, because she's in this movie, and what you think of her.
I think she's great. I mean, I think a really underrated thing that she did is create and star in 30 Rock. And the thing I like about 30 Rock is, you know, there are other shows that are, you know, a little more complex and they're hilarious, like Arrested Development or something like that. But 30 Rock is just straight up funny, and it is hilarious. And also she created The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, mm-hmm. which is another great show. And, you talk to these people sometimes, and I sit here thinking, like, I got to do this thing and this thing and this thing today. And then you talk to these other people, and they're like, well, I created this series, and I'm working on that, but then I'm doing this movie. But then I have to keep up with this other series I created. It's like, they're pretty good at multi. She's a pretty smart woman, and she's a pretty funny woman. And she's, she was cool talking about that, because I told her, I said, look, I got to tell you that, like, my kids love Kimmy Schmidt, but Mean Girls is probably their favorite movie. And she's like, oh, that's a movie. But this movie is okay. I mean, the Whiskey Tango Fox, she plays a sort of a newswriter for a cable news company, and she ends up being an on-camera person in Afghanistan and Pakistan. And there are some interesting things to say about that the movie has to say, but it doesn't always say them. Mm-hmm. And she didn't write it. But she was a producer. And when I spoke with her, she talked a lot about that, about how that's so much better than being an actor for hire, because you have a say in the casting. You get to help the director a little bit with the editing and stuff like that. And, you know,
so
stuff that we would get to do, but
yeah. So this is good.
It's good. It's not great. It's definitely something you could wait on. You know what I mean? It's Dollar Theater. How about that?
Redbox in like 4 months, something like that. Swing by Walgreens, stand there looking into the sunlight at 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon with everybody else. You can't see the screen. You know, not that I haven't done that too many times, but I have. So, what are you screening today? Can you tell me? You're at a screening. I understand.
I'm going to see Allegiant, the last of the Insurgent movies.
Any good? Do you think?
Charlene Woodley. Somebody somewhere figured out the formula for these teenage dystopian future movies. And man, that's like one of those things like Apple computers. I wish I'd invested early on, you know,
mm-hmm.
because there are so many of these things. And they Hunger Games is the best. And, you know, mostly because of Jennifer Lawrence. But Shailene Woodley is actually a really good actress. And I like her in these. But I got to say, I'm done.
Right.
this is the fourth one. I'm glad there's not a fifth.
Okay, so you're going to go see that in a second. I've got about 2 minutes, okay? So in 2 minutes' time, can you sum up, because you wrote about it today on AZ Central, about the decorum of the debates, and last night going to just an absolute low. Like, I termed it a bad SNL sketch a couple weeks ago. It's below that now. And I said bad SNL sketch on a Thursday when they were rehearsing it. You know, to talk about a man's size of his genitals as part of a presidential debate last night, I find nothing funny about that.
It's not funny, and I was going to say, what decorum? Because yeah. They seem to have dispensed with this. The thing that's interesting to me about this is that Trump has been doing it all along. And, you know, a lot of people clearly like Donald Trump. A lot of people, particularly the Republican Party, don't like Donald Trump, the establishment. But you say this about him. He's, you know what you're going to get. I mean, he's that way. Mm-hmm. And he's not a dumb guy. He knows what he's doing. I mean, he knows how this stuff plays. He's you know, he's a smart guy. The thing that's interesting to me is that now Marco Rubio is kind of taking the bait, and he's doing the same thing. And that joke, you know, I've what I wrote today was, you know, I don't think I'm a prude, but I must say, I never thought I would hear a penis joke during a Republican debate, you know.
Yep.
But it was in response to the stuff that Rubio had been saying about him. And I mean, you know, and it, when Ted Cruz looks like the reasonable one, you know, you've done something. Not although Cruz kind of went nutty too. I think that part of it is just an absolute lack of control over any of the debates now.
No, the moderators are just getting crushed. They're getting run over, and I got to let you go off that, but I wanted to get your just general thoughts about it because it's
one quick thing. I had to take my daughter to dance during this, so I listened to part of it on the radio. On the radio, it was unbelievable because all they do is talk over each other. You couldn't understand a single thing they say, but you'd hear these random words like lunatic, you know, and it's just like, it was bizarre.
It's kind of like you and I every Friday, but that's fine. I'll let you go off that. Stay well.
All right.
It was Goody at the Movies. Bill Goodykoontz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. He also writes on media and what happened there last night. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website at sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona-centric. Content on the high school, college, pro college, high school. Makes no difference to us. Just things that we see. As we like to say, we are Whole Foods and Sprouts in a world of Walmart. And that's sports media. Thanks for being with us.